Welcome to this Sunday morning's message podcast from Kingdom Faith.
Oh, please sit down. A couple of things first off. If you see on the sides, we're taking communion later today. So all of this is a preparation for that. So prepare your hearts for that. It's very interesting this morning. Sharon started the prayer meeting. We haven't had a conversation, but she said, I believe the Lord wants to talk about honour, and that's what I'm speaking on today. So God's got something in store for us. But before I launch into it, just one other little notice. Open houses, we're thinning them down a little bit for September, but not too much. So there are some gaps here. If anybody would like to host an open house, please come and see me. The gaps we've got are September the 16th, October the 21st, and December the 16th. We don't have to fill them all. We don't even have to fill those. But if you're thinking I would like to do this, then please catch me, and that would be great. What I believe the Lord wants to do today is to enlarge the room we give him in our hearts so that he can move in and through our lives in a more powerful, more effective way. Are you up for that? Does that sound good to you? Okay, just indulge me for a second. Just take a breath. And let it out. That's the good bit. Every breath in our body comes from him. He's the one that breathed breath into your nostrils and brought you to life. In him, we live and move and have our being. We're dependent on him for absolutely everything that we have. When we breathe in, what constrains our breath is our rib cage. Okay, and the size of our lungs. There's a limit to how much air we can take in. This is simple stuff, isn't it? Not rocket science. Okay, there's a limit. God wants to increase your capacity today. So let him speak to your spirit. We sang that beautiful song, I Exalt Thee. Didn't have the lyrics, but it was so simple you didn't need the lyrics. So this is about honor. What honor does is it builds a throne for God, and I'm going to prove that to you today. So the word exalt, sometimes we use words we don't really know what they mean. That's an old-fashioned word. So what's the definition of it? It's got a long definition. I'm just going to give you bits. It means to reverence. It means to esteem, to hold in high regard, to look up to. And it also means to raise to a higher rank or position. Now, you can't do that with God, because he's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. But we can do it with our perception of him. So when we worship, that's what we're doing. We're saying, I'm not going to clutter my vision with all this other stuff. All the things that I'm fretting about, the things that I'm feeling, the troubles that I've had, I'm going to lift my eyes beyond that, and I'm going to look to him, and I'm going to fill my vision with him. And as we do that, this well of salvation that God's put in each of us begins to bubble up. It begins to spring up. We're like priming the pump for that when we worship. Do you know what I mean? So when we worship, we get our eyes on God. We magnify him. We don't make him any bigger, but we make our vision of him more complete. We honor him and we esteem him. And because God is love, what love always does is it gives back. It can't help it. Can you just come here a second, Richard? We sang that great song at the beginning, Break Every Chain. You know, if you've ever seen the film Amazing Grace or Amistad, you know how the slaves were kept. They were shackled with their feet and they were shackled around their necks. Well, Jesus is the breaker of every chain. And he's the one who says, come to me, you who are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And it's like this. If you're the slave and I'm Jesus, now you use your imagination, guys. Okay? You've got a chain around your neck. Well, Jesus comes and puts his arm around you. And that chain goes. And what you're left with is the one who bears your burden. What you're left with is the one who says, I'm not ashamed to call you brother. What you're left with is the one who honors you, because as we honour God, God honours us. The chains are gone, and the fellowship of God and the Holy Spirit and the Father is there. You with me? Thanks, Richard. Samuel 2:30 says this: those who honour me, I will honour. And I want to show you a clip from, I think it's Britain's Got Talent. Unusual. And I'd just like you to find, to look out for, where is there a lack of honour? Where is there honour? And what does that honour produce? Liz. Have a light song, Liz.
Hi, how are you?
I'm very well, thank you. How are you?
I'm good.
Nice to meet you.
I am so good.
Nice to meet you. What's your name?
My name is Patrick George.
Patrick George.
Yes.
Okay, and what's the act, Patrick?
I'm a gospel choir.
Just you?
Yes, I'm a choir.
Did you eat them? Where's the rest? Where's the rest of them? Do you have a normal job, Patrick?
Yes, I do.
What is it?
I'm a pastor.
A pastor?
Yes, I am.
Do you think you could save Simon's soul? Or do you think he's going straight to hell?
Well, you'll be driving the bus, dear. Anyway, back to Patrick.
Yeah, that's
okay.
Sorry, yeah.
Thank you. Okay, great. Well, I can't wait to hear the act.
Good.
Good luck.
Still can't see any of this choir, can you?
No.
One, two, three, four.
Oh my goodness, that was just so powerful and
soulful and heart-wrenching.
David? It was so good it made me want to go to church.
What?
So powerful, so moving.
Guys, I thought you were absolutely fantastic. Seriously fantastic. I've got to tell you, one of the best choirs we've had on this show, if not the best. Okay, now the important part. David, yes or no?
It's a yes.
Alicia?
Yes. A yes from me.
Praise the Lord, it's four yeses.
Well, wasn't that gorgeous? 2013, I think that was. Interesting. Simon Cowell dishonors the pastor. What would have happened if the pastor had gone, "You have no right to talk to me like that," which is true. That is disrespectful. Don't you realize I'm a pastor? We're out of here. He could have done that, but he doesn't. He takes it. He makes a joke of it. And invited to dishonor Simon Cowell, he doesn't do it. Now, these are the comments that appeared on the website. "I'm crying," somebody wrote, "and I'm not a Christian. That is our men straight from heaven. Blew me away." Here's another one. "I'm an atheist, but talent is talent and beauty is beauty. And this is amazing. And if religion joined them and gave them this gift, then I'm all for it." So who got the honor? The Lord got the honor. The pastor got the honor. The choir got the honor. And all because of an attitude of honor. It was the attitude of honor that made the way for all of that. "Those who honor me, I will honor." We need to look at what honor looks like. What is honor? Let's go for some definitions. It's to value. It's to regard a thing or a person as important, precious, like gold. What's the opposite of honor look like? It's to disregard. It's to overlook. It's to treat as being ordinary or commonplace, unremarkable, not worthy of notice, of having no value, to hold in contempt. "Those who honor me, I will honor," says the Lord. When Jesus began his ministry, people in his own hometown said, "Who is this? He's just the carpenter's son. Who does he think he is?" And Mark 6:5 says that he could do no miracles in that place. Their lack of honor constrained the Son of God. It's not that he didn't do. It's not that he chose not to, because he did pray for some people and he did heal some people. But what he wanted to do, he could not do, because they had made no place for him in their hearts. Why? Because they were constrained by a lack of honor. They treated him as commonplace, ordinary, not worthy of their attention. And it's not that he walked out on them, but he could do no miracles in that place. What honor does is it creates a landing place in our hearts for God to work in us and through us. And what a lack of honor does is it constrains that. There is no place for him to land and do his work. It was worse for the Pharisees. The Pharisees treated him with contempt, and they got nothing at all from him, apart from harsh words. It wasn't just a lack of honour. It wasn't just something was absent. What was in its place was the entire flip side. It was contempt. And if we go back to Samuel 3:20, it says, those who honour me, I will honour, and those who treat me with disdain, I will disdain. So let's see what honour looks like. Now, I was amazed because I've been reading a book which I recommend to you. If you want to find out more about this subject, great book by John Bevere, Honour's Reward. Who's read this? Okay, a few of you. Would you recommend it, those with your hands up? Yeah? Okay, it's a good book. Deals with the whole subject of honour in real detail. And our reading program right at the minute is 1 Samuel. So I've been reading this book now for some time. I'm reading it the second time through because I really want to soak it in. And I felt the Lord speaking about it to us as a church. In fact, so has Pastor Jonathan because he spoke about it last time he spoke. Interesting. Right now, in the chapters we're reading in Samuel, we hear Hannah's story. Hannah's story is a great example. Let's have a look at Hannah's story. There's so much in this subject, we can't cover it in a single session, but we're going to cover this. Hannah, if you remember, she was barren. She couldn't have children. And in those days, husbands had more than one wife. She couldn't have children, but the other wife could. The other wife, oddly enough, was jealous of her. Why? Because her husband loved Hannah more. Her husband particularly loved her, but she couldn't have children. So the other one teased her about it. She goaded her about it. She riled her about it. She rubbed her nose in it. She was on her case about it. And it just got into her. Now every year they went up to the tabernacle. The tabernacle, it says in the NIV, is a temple. It's actually the forerunner of the temple. It's a place where God said, come and honor me. Come and worship me. It's a temporary temple, if you like. Every year they went up to honour God at the tabernacle. Who knows where the tabernacle was? Where? Shiloh, yeah, which is actually pronounced Shiloh, it says according to the notes that I read. I've always called it Shiloh, but we'll call it Shiloh because if that's how it's supposed to be done, that's fine. Now, the interesting thing about this place, Shiloh, is the name means peace and abundance. And it's also a name for the Messiah, the Prince of Peace. Shiloh points to who the Messiah will be, who Jesus will be, the Prince of Peace. And this place of worship and honor, where people go to give God honor, because God is love, he returns that honor with peace and abundance. So when we honour him, he who honours me, I will honour. It's love reaching out. He can't fail to. That's who he is. So she goes up there with the family, and it's a place of eating and drinking. But she doesn't eat and drink. Why? Because she's bitter in her spirit. She's got bitterness inside of her. And yet, even though she carries this bitterness, I can't have children. I have a need. My need isn't being met. And people are accusing me because of my need and making my life hard for me because of my need. She brings that to the place of meeting with God, the place of peace and abundance. But she can't eat and drink. She can't eat and drink. And sometimes, when we come to God, we're so full of our need, and we're so full of our lack, we're so full of our anxiety, we're so full of our concerns, that while God wants to prepare a banquet for you to eat your fill, can't do it. Can't do it. So she brought the bitterness of her heart. Much better that she brought that than that she didn't go. Because what she also brought was her honor. She came with her honour to the place of worship, to the tabernacle. Let's have a look at her story. The honour of her heart attitude opened a way for God's blessing. 1 Samuel 1, 10 and 11. In bitterness of soul, Hannah wept much, and she prayed to the Lord, and she made a vow, saying, O Lord Almighty, if only you will look upon your servant's misery and remember me, and not forget your servant, but give her a son, then I will give him to the Lord for all the days of his life, and no razor will ever be used on his head. That was a sign that it was dedicated to the Lord that they did in those days. And she keeps praying to the Lord. She keeps pouring out her heart to God. This woman has not been able to eat because of the bitterness in her soul, but actually has come to honor God. What happens next is crucial. Because she's seen, she's watched by the priest, a man called Eli. Eli is appointed by God into the role that he has. But Eli has his issues. They're really bad issues. Eli's sons are bad guys. They're working in the temple too. But what they're doing is they're sleeping with the women who come to serve. They're taking the offerings. It's like somebody here, you've just given your offerings. It's like somebody here saying, I'm having that. I'm having that. That's what they were like. They were stealing the offerings and they were sleeping with the women. And Eli knew. And Eli did nothing about it. He didn't constrain his sons. So Eli is not particularly commendable. And he sees Hannah praying and she's pouring out her heart. She's not speaking out loud, but her mouth is moving. And Eli imagines she's drunk. And he rebukes her. He says, how long are you going to keep getting drunk? Get rid of your wine, woman. What would have happened if Hannah had taken offense and said, you have got me wrong. You call yourself a priest? Where's your discernment, man? I'm pouring my heart out to God, and what are you doing? You're accusing me of being a drunk? You're not fit to serve in this temple. She would have been right, but wrong, badly wrong, in her attitude of heart. Badly wrong. Why? Because God had appointed Eli. And if you honor others, you honor the Father. So look at what Hannah actually did. Not so, my Lord, she replied, my Lord. He didn't deserve that. I'm a woman who's deeply troubled. I've not been drinking wine or beer. I was pouring out my soul to the Lord. Please don't take your servant, as a wicked woman. I've been praying here out of my great anguish and grief. And Eli got it. The penny dropped, the message got through. And Eli did this. Go in peace, and may the God of Israel grant you what you've asked of him. He blessed her, and in the name of the Lord, confirmed what she had prayed for. If she'd rebuked him, that would not have happened. She would not have had Samuel. Samuel, the prophet. Samuel, the one who anoints David, the ancestor of Jesus. Her attitude of honor made a way for God to move throughout the entire nation and beyond, because we all benefit today from that. She had a right to be aggrieved. She had a right to be offended. She didn't exercise that. She chose the way of honor. And honor made an extraordinary way for her. God appointed Eli. And in honoring Eli, which must have been difficult, she honors God. She gets Eli's blessing, which is God's blessing. And honor opened the way for God to give to her. Verse 19 says, the Lord remembered her. Her continuing honor became a landing platform for God to move in the nation that paved the way for David, the forerunner of the Messiah, in the place named after the Messiah, Shiloh. It's interesting what happens next, because it doesn't end there. Hannah hands over her child to God. And God blessed her with many others. There was absolutely no guarantee that she would ever have another child. In fact, when it came to going to the temple the next year, she doesn't go. She doesn't go because Samuel isn't ready. She's weaning him. 9 months later, along comes Samuel. She's weaning him. 3-month-old baby. She says, no, in time. But can you imagine, how would you feel, folks? Can you imagine if you're thinking at this time, I can't quite remember what it was I said to God, but I'm really grateful he's given me a son. And I'm going to look after him as best I possibly can. I'm going to bring him up in the fear of the Lord. And I have this nagging doubt. I may have said some things that weren't really wise a year ago. But the Lord knows. It's all right. He would not have been Samuel, the prophet, if she'd have hung on to him. Israel would not have had Samuel, would not have anointed David, would not have been an ancestor to the Messiah, Jesus. Would we be here? I don't know. So she had another choice to make, and that was to honor what she said to the Lord, honor her promise to the Lord that she'd made a year earlier. So she brings Samuel to the temple. And listen to what she got from Eli, the man who dishonored her. Chapter 2, verse 20. May the Lord give you, this is to her husband, children, plural, by this woman to take the place of the one she prayed for and gave to the Lord. And the Lord was gracious to Hannah. She conceived and gave birth to 3 sons and 2 daughters. Wow. Her attitude of honor created a space for God to move in her life and bless her life. It wasn't just the nation who was blessed, that was blessed. She was blessed. The Bible talks about when we go to heaven, we cast our crowns before God. Whatever God has given us, he's given us. It came from him. Whatever is remarkable about our lives, it comes from him. Whatever is good, whatever is fruitful, whatever is noteworthy, worthy of honor, came from him. It all comes from him. Do you know, there's not one of us that when we go to be with him, by his grace and by his mercy, isn't going to say, thank you for everything. I don't deserve any of this. Thank you for it all. I give it all back to you. What honor does is it returns to God what God has given. It doesn't say, thank you, I'm having that. Thank you for Samuel, he's mine now. It gives back. And love cannot help but give back to that. Love cannot help but reward that. That's the nature of love. And remember, we're in the place called Shiloh, which is named after the Messiah. We're in the tabernacle, which is the first temple. And what we see Hannah doing is exactly what Abraham had done, gave back the first son. It's exactly what Father God did. He gave his beloved son, Jesus, for you, for you, for you, for you. He gave him with love for you. Wonderful. So we see a forerunner. There's so much that God has done in all of this. And honor is the heart of it all. What is the opposite of honor? It's disdain, remember. Eli's sons had stolen food given to God, that had sex with the women who came to serve God, and God accuses them of scorn and contempt, which is the opposite of honor. And he says Eli has honored his sons above God. That's the mistake Eli made. It's an easy one for a parent to make. I'm challenged by this. I'm challenged by this. He honored his sons above God. It's his sons that had done the bad things. But Eli had seen it and done nothing to constrain them. Actually, he had spoken to them. He had rebuked them. He had. Read the story. You've read it, because that's what we're reading at the minute. He rebuked them, but they didn't listen to him. They treated him with contempt. And they carried on doing what they were doing. And because Eli failed to restrain his sons, God dealt with them very severely. God says he will honor those who honor him. And when we honor who God sends or appoints, we honor God. The Bible says God appoints rulers and governors, leaders in society. These are not always godly people. They're not always good people. Sometimes they're wicked people. Sometimes they are dishonorable. But when we honor them, we honor the Lord. Which is why Scripture is full of how our attitude should be to those in authority. So whatever you think of Theresa May, honor her. Whatever you think of Jeremy Corbyn, honor him. Whatever you think of Donald Trump, honor him. Why? Because if you don't hold honor in your heart, you cannot pray for them. How do I know that? The Bible tells me very clearly. If I have a problem with my wife and I go to God with something else, he says, sort that out. Sort out your heart. Honor your wife. You want me to honor something you're asking for? Honor her. Do that first. Got it? First. Sort yourself out. Give me room to work in your heart. Larry's got a thumbs up there, and you wrote the book, fella. You know. I cannot pray for those in authority in this nation or any other nation if I treat them with contempt. I can't do it. God's going to go, I'm not listening. Get your heart right. They may be wicked. They may be dishonorable. They may be godless. But I have to pray for them. For them. Not against them. And I can't do it if I treat them with contempt. In fact, I can't do it unless I love them. Oh, my word. I don't know what you think of these characters, but the word's really clear. Even in a democracy, God appoints. God appoints. God appoints. God appoints. And God will call them to account. And if you want God to intervene in this nation, if you want God to intervene in the US or wherever it concerns you, intercede for them. Don't pray against them. Honor them, honor them, honor them. And it isn't just about leadership. Teachers, employers, husbands, wives, parents, you could say all of that's leadership, but it goes beyond that to children, colleagues. Honor them. 1 Peter 2:17. Show proper respect to everyone.
What version we've got up here? That's the one we've got.
Love the brotherhood of believers. Fear God. That means hold him in reverence and awe. Honor the king. These kings they're writing about in these days were not honorable. They were persecutors. They were murderers. They were corrupt.
Nero.
Honor Nero. Whoa, what? Hang on a minute. That's a misprint. It's got to be. Honor who? Nero? He's killing them. He's slaughtering them. What? Honor him? Really? Yeah. Really. Why? Because he's answerable to the one who appointed him. Can I make this harder for you? Why couldn't Hannah have children? Read it. In her particular case, the need she had in her life was a need put there by God. I'm not making a blanket for anything here. And forgive me if this one cuts to the quick. It cut her to the quick. The need in her life was put there by the Lord. Why? Because he had amazing purposes and plans for her. Her purposes and plans were quite simple. They were commonplace. We want to have children. God's purposes and plans for her were extraordinary. Samuel. Amazing. And everything that he did and the way that nation was put back on its feet. God's purposes and plans were incredible for her. She would have missed them if she had dishonored God. She would have missed them, but she didn't miss them because she honored God. And what honor does is it builds a throne. So sometimes when we've got need in our lives, we can get angry with God sometimes. And I think it's fine to pace up and down and say, "What are you doing? I want to know. I want to understand." And actually, even if you don't tell me, I still worship you. I think it's fine to vent with God. God is looking for relationship with us. He's looking for reality. He's looking for honesty. But what isn't fine is to say, "I've had it with you." And we might not say that with our lips, but we can do it in our hearts. We can say, "God hasn't given me. He just overlooked me. He's just overlooked my need." But the word says that the eyes of the Lord roam around the earth looking for those who fear him to strengthen them. God is looking for honor in your life. And his ways are higher than our ways. His ways were higher than Hannah's ways. So if you have a need, don't let it get between you and God. Because it could. Don't let it get between you and him. He knows. He loves you. He's not telling you to suffer in silence. Take it to him. Take it to him. Bear your heart, bear your soul to him, but keep honor. Keep honor. Keep a submissive spirit that says, as Mary said, "How's this going to happen? But Lord, just be it unto me according to your will." Now, we don't believe that we should meekly accept sickness in our lives. We believe God's purpose and heart for us is for his will to be done on earth as it is in heaven. There's no sickness in heaven. Please don't misunderstand what I've just said. Okay? Is that all right? But all of us, every one of us in this room is carrying unanswered prayer at the moment, unmet need of one sort or another. For people you love, where are they with the Lord? The sickness that you see around you, financial need maybe, we're all carrying that stuff. Come to the temple with it. Come to the place of peace and abundance. And I tell you, you can do better than Hannah. You can eat and drink in that place. She refused to eat and drink until she'd got what she was after. But actually, what God wants to do is give you his banquet for you to eat and for you to drink. So bring your need. Bring it with honor to the King of Kings. 1 Peter 2:17 we just read. And I've just lost. Show proper respect to everyone. Another version of that says honor. Honor who? Everyone. This isn't just about authority. Everyone is made in the image of God. Everyone is loved by God, whether they know him as their father or not. It's a matter of time and your prayers for the people you meet. Intercede for them. Call up who they are in God. See beyond the surface. See beyond the commonplace and the dishonorable. See beyond the weak and the hurting and the vulnerable and the aggressive, because that's just the other side of a coin. See beyond that. Pray for them. Call up who God sees in that person. Lift them up. There's this great verse in here where Hannah is praying. I just love it. It's also in Psalms. I've completely lost my place. I can quote it. He raises the poor and needy from the ash heap and seats them among the princes. This is now Psalms. Even the princes of their people. This is how God sees the poor and the needy and the hurting and the vulnerable and the aggressive and the dishonorable. He sees who he has made and looks for us to call it out of them. We have to honor those we meet. This is not a word about submitting to authority. This is a word about honor. Whoever you meet, honor them. Jesus says an amazing thing about children. Matthew 18, 4 and 5. Oh my. I'm nearly through. Whoever humbles himself like this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Next verse. And whoever welcomes a little child like this in my name welcomes me. We're called to honor everyone. And what happens when we honor is that we create a throne for God. We create a throne for him. So if you want to see God move, roll out a red carpet for him. Honor him. Honor others, because in honoring others, you're honoring him. And if they're not worthy of honor, then honor them anyway. Value them, because if you value them, they may just come to value themselves. And in honoring them, you're honoring God and will release God to move in their lives and in yours. Honor builds a throne, it says in 1 Samuel, where I've lost my place. You'll just have to read it and look it up. It builds a throne for God. Or if you like, a landing place where God can come in. If I stop honoring you, if I stop honoring my wife and I come to God in prayer and worship, it says, sort it out with your wife first. If it's true of my wife, it's true of everyone. Honor. Is that right? Okay, we're going to take communion. We're going to do it in a slightly different way. What we're going to do is come up, please, in a moment, and receive from those who will give to you, who will honour you, receive the bread and receive the wine. Receive it. That's why we do it. It's to say to us in a really concrete way, I need you, Lord. I'm coming to honor you. Bring your honor to him and receive from him. And if, like Hannah, there's a bitterness in your heart or there's a need, bring that. Just bring that. Bring that. And in exchange for that, take the bread and take the wine. Then, come and sit down for a bit. And ask the Lord who he wants you to honour. And come and take another piece of bread and go and give it to somebody else to honour them. And when you give it to them, be really specific. Don't just say, I honour you. Say, why? 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 Encourage them. Speak into them. Call them out. Call up what God sees in them. And listen, if nobody comes and brings you a piece of bread, don't worry about it. This is a time for giving. God honours those who honour him. Rather, concentrate on giving to somebody else. If no one gives you bread, please don't be offended by that. Okay? So we do that. We're going to play a track in the background to that. Well done, Liz.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com.